You're about to watch a really fun video for me because I just feel like there's a lot of people out in this world that are gonna get a lot of value from this, whether it's similar circumstances or an insight to being passionate about a niche or realities of family life, of being an entrepreneur, or where you are in your age cycle. I hope you guys enjoy this.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Well, listen, I wanna bring as much value as humanly possible. Where do you think we can go with that?
Yeah, so I mean, just being is great, right? We're, obviously, you know, it's interesting, right? Like, you actually inspired me on social media, right? I'm a contractor,
yeah.
Right? Clearly, that's what I do. I'm 57 now, and around...
But built like a fucking truck, right?
I see it.
I'm scoping you. I'm like, all right, in 11 years, if I keep going, I'm going to... Go ahead. Yep.
No, it's pretty funny. But no, honestly, though, it's actually funny you say that because fitness is a big part of our lives.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Start every day in the gym. And you know, I think it's, for us, it's just important.
It's just part of life.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I call it my therapy.
I totally understand.
I used to put it in my calendar as like therapy.
I get it. People are like, yeah.
Like, what the hell's that?
Good for you.
Yeah. But anyhow.
But the point there was people not 20 could do this shit.
Yeah, so it's so funny, right? So I'm 50, right? And social media's out there. Actually, he was at University of Alabama, and which, by the way, love that talk.
Yeah, you talked there.
He was there then.
Is that right?
My senior year.
No shit.
Yeah, you came in 2018.
That's awesome.
My daughter's actually there now.
That's awesome.
I'm actually going there this weekend.
For the game?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, but anyhow, that was actually awesome.
Thank you.
That message that you delivered there, was like, it hit
really
home. So cool, man.
Thank you.
No, for real. But anyhow, so... You know, we got a really good, successful business, you know, local business.
Yep.
We're doing well. And he's like, listen, you got to start
doing this
next
shit.
Level, doing
yeah,
this.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'm talking to my competitors and my friends that are also in the business.
And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to get another contract from a fucking TikTok?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what they said.
That's my favorite thing happening on life. The longer everyone's confused,
yep.
The more likely I'm going to buy the Jets.
I love it.
Yeah.
I get it. That makes all, I mean, you should have heard the shit that people said to me when I took my dad's liquor store in Springfield on the web in 96. Because my dad came from the Soviet Union and like a lot of the guys that I talked to watched him go from a stock boy to owning his own business. They loved my dad and they literally told me shit like, you're gonna put your dad out of business and this is fucked up, he brought you to America and like, now you're gonna do this .com thing, you're gonna ruin it. And like, you know, new shit fucks up old guard.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. And I think it's also so many people are afraid of different or new, you know?
100%. And honestly, people don't talk this enough. A lot of people just don't want to put in the work.
I'm with you.
Like this, when people, like what clearly you have, and I sense it immediately, is like a lot of people that already kind of did a little something, they got what they like, they got their little boat that they can go fishing in the Jersey Shore, like they're good. They're like, 3 years from now, I'm gonna go to Florida half the year too. And so when you say like, let's get the fucking work, like fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Like they're like, they shit on new stuff, but it's really an excuse that they don't wanna put in the work anymore.
100%.
100%.
100%.
Complacency is an incredible framework to excuses.
I totally agree. I mean, here we are, most successful like finished basement business in New Jersey, and I would argue in the country.
Good for you.
But I look at it, and I'm not saying sitting back going, hey, this is great, we're all good. I'm going, no, we're just getting fucking started. Like, this is the beginning, man. We're taking this nationwide, and that's what we're doing right now. Like,
are there nationwide players in the finished basement business?
So,
or it's been a regional business?
There's not even a lot of finished basement companies.
There's a few.
But
I'm sure.
But not
to the scale we...
No,
right, you went super deep into like... People finish basements, people are building finished basements all the time. But you're like, no, this is like the fucking thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, we're
like they could hire someone to do their basic basement, but then we took it to a different scale.
Those guys aren't like
and they designed it. So that's how they can go nationwide because they're like, here's how you do a hidden bar, here's how the door flips upside down.
Are you thinking a franchise model or are you gonna do it?
No, we already got burned with that.
Yeah.
So
I get it. It's like it's an interesting debate, but it's hard.
Because
people fuck up your brand. People fuck up your brand.
Yeah.
I get it. Because franchisees never like when I say this, but if you're a franchisee, you're a half entrepreneur.
Yeah. So true.
And, right? It's true. Like, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm like, you own a McDonald's, which is amazing. You are entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
But you're not a purebred entrepreneur because corporate is doing a lot of shit for you.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship is, there is nobody else.
Well, we were, I shouldn't say we because I had nothing to do with it, but Brooke, who created the franchise that we had, or she had, and then Chris was the genius behind building it, and now he moved on to a much bigger and better running, but so we've been down that road and we
it's hard. I'm on the board of Bojangles, which is a QSR chicken restaurant in the South. The conflict between franchisor and franchisee, I'm empathetic to both sides. Yeah. It's a challenge.
Oh, yeah.
It's why they're so lucrative when they work. Because it's challenging.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, nonetheless.
Yeah, so anyhow, that wasn't my mindset. Yeah. So it's real hard, right, to take a business that we have, like a contractor. Like, how do you take a contractor that works in a county and take it Jersey-wide or nationwide? So the concept that I came up with, because we had 40 years of content, right, and there was nobody, we calculated that I've designed over 4,000
40 pieces. Years of design work, right, not exactly. content
not
in
content,
that matter. No, I got it. No, I wanted to ground how you were defining content.
Yeah.
Right, makes sense, go ahead.
So now I'm bringing to the table something nobody else in the country has. Like, I've designed 4,000 basements. Find me another guy that did, and especially to the level of what we
When did you get serious of going deeper into that niche, what year?
Pretty funny, it's about 20 years ago, believe it or not. Like, I shouldn't say I was serious at that time. I pivoted. I had a really, really successful commercial contracting business to the point where I was doing about $15 million a year.
Wow.
Right? I think my oldest daughter, his wife, Chris's wife, was just going into high school. So how many years ago that, right? I don't even know. She's 35 now, right? Yeah, 20 years. Imagine this. I got a $15 million a year business. I'm making money hand over fist. Successful.
Yeah, crush it.
I have contracts coming in left and right. I can do whatever I want, but I don't know my family.
Huh.
I made a choice at that moment to close it down and choose my family over that. It was, let me tell you.
That's a big deal.
No, it was the craziest fucking thing I ever did. Honestly, thinking back. Like,
how long was that happening in your subconscious, or was it very quick?
It was probably building for about 2 years, and it was building, and I got to the point where it's like, okay, I'm gonna be dead, and they're gonna have my money, so what good, I don't want to be just getting a graveyard.
Right.
So I just said to myself, like, fuck it, it's not worth the money. I'd rather have the family and live in a trailer than to have the money and live in a mansion.
I love it.
And legit, and so we had to sell the contracts.
So, right, you sold the contracts, and you rebuilt up from this genre?
So I have 7,000 square foot office, 30 employees, architects. I walked in one day, random, out of the blue. I go, whatever, we're not signing another contract. No one's fired.
Yep.
Everybody's getting paid. You can stay here. We probably got a year backlog. You want to leave in a year? You want to leave in a month? Find the best job you can. Stay as long as you want. So when the dust settles a year later, everybody's happy. Don't burn any bridges. Everybody gets paid. I just look and go, now what? Like, what the hell did I just do?
Were people like scared that you were sick or some shit because it was so left field?
Nobody got it.
Yeah.
Nobody got it.
Makes sense.
Couldn't understand it. You know, even me, when it settled, I was like,
right.
Wait,
was this right?
I was like, yeah. Wait, what the fuck? I got a mortgage.
Yeah.
I got kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, how can I make a living at that? Like, what?
Right. It seemed too narrow.
Of course.
And this was even before man caves were blowing up.
Oh, yeah.
No, finished basements is very Jersey culture.
Oh, yeah.
That was like, it's been so long since I lived that Edison life, but like literally when you started talking, I'm like, right, that was like a core thing you like asked your friend, like you made a friend in fourth grade and be like, you have a finished basement?
Yeah.
like a finished, right? It was a very
totally,
Jersey thing.
Totally. Yeah, but we took it to a whole nother level, man.
I'm sure, point, I get it.
We just said, you know what? Like,
this and that,
cheesy top ceilings. We got like, you know, I was happy to get a $10,000 basement.
How have the trends changed? Like, what's the kind of like, you know how that always happens.
Totally.
Like, what's the current thing that people are like really about?
Well, modern look.
Modern look,
tile in the basement.
Tile.
Hidden doors.
A lot of hidden doors.
That's what took us to another level.
The slides from the first story.
Well, that was my first viral video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A slide.
Yeah. Wait, so cool. I'll give you this, right?
Something different in every job.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I will get to this guy's front door, and we're doing some cool basements, and we migrated from the $10,000 basements.
And you get a sense, you have good people skills, so you got a sense that they were open to the idea, right?
Well,
yeah.
I'm standing at the guy's threshold of his door, and he goes, before I walk in, he goes, I want something cool, he goes, from you, right? He challenged me. I didn't even get in his house. And I looked, and he had three little kids, and I said, all right, how about we put a slide from your first floor into the kids' room? He goes, can you do that? I go, I don't know, I'll figure it out. You know what I mean?
Really cool.
And so we're just thinking outside the box, and you know.
You know what, I need to connect you guys to Brandon, my best friend who runs my dad's wine store. could do something really cool where like when you, like anybody who ever does a wine cellar, maybe the store will give like three nice bottles, like something just nice for you to add value. I love added value and surprise and delight.
That's
be
right.
Smart.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
We just did a sick.
I figured,
yeah,
right?
Underneath the stairs.
Mm-hmm. We just did one for this guy, James, sick mm-hmm. fingerprint. What was his collection, like 1.7 million?
Yeah,
we made
million
it sick, you know.
Collection.
Yeah.
He loves drinking wine. He flies to Italy, grabs a bottle, flies back.
Crazy.
Very into it.
But so we kind of migrated.
Jersey?
Yeah.
Migrated over these years.
Colts neck home down. Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost, that buy right on that highway right there, and you're right before Delicious Orc. Right?
Yeah.
I almost bought that years ago. I almost put a wine library there. I always, I still, before I die, randomly out of left field, might open a wine library in Monmouth County.
It was
Monmouth is a disaster.
Yeah.
There's no super wine store.
No.
It's the only it's part of Jersey
spirits.
That, yeah.
Excellent.
It just kind of like.
A brewery just opened up right there.
I heard.
Yeah.
I heard.
Actually, you guys know that.
Source.
Yeah, Source Brewery. Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
So that's it. And away you went.
Yeah, so, and now we just keep getting better and bigger, and again, we've migrated from.
Can
like
I give
10,
you a good piece of, like, before we run out of time?
Yeah.
Same way that you're doing well with, like, the TikTok stuff and stuff, immediately, thoughtfully, get serious about YouTube Shorts.
Yeah,
here's why. Mm-hmm. YouTube Shorts is different in that it's exactly like TikTok with virality and those dynamics, but YouTube is the second biggest search engine in the world.
I know.
And if you name them properly, you're probably gonna get a lot of lead gen because it shows up in standard YouTube search. So unlike TikTok, where they are showing signs to becoming more of a search engine, like YouTube is like, people literally type in finished basement, resume,
yeah.
Man caves. Whereas, so with the content, if you tag it and name it right, one viral YouTube short might be your biggest lead gen piece of content. And that wouldn't happen if it was just living on TikTok. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Because it's the consumer behavior. There's more 52-year-olds who are gonna build a real fucking basement, who are gonna go search on YouTube, on Google. YouTube shows up in Google, or the progressive 52-year-old is searching YouTube because they want to visualize it more than Google, and your YouTube short might show up in the search now, which is that person's not going to TikTok to search for a finished basement.
Mm-hmm.
You may get awareness from it, but it's a search engine and search is intent to buy. And so it's a big difference in business dynamic than just letting it live on TikTok.
That's great.
That's awesome.
That makes a lot of sense.
Gotta leave you with something.
Yeah, appreciate that, yeah.
And so what about like a podcast and talking more about like doing what I did, which was like I went from being a businessman to doing content around my business, Wine Library TV, to then taking it to the next place. When I hear about just what you did with making that decision in life, just you interviewing other people who left it all. Like if your show was called Left It All for the Positive, like if that was the name of the show, with you,
yeah.
And you interview other people who weren't sick, who weren't burnt out, who didn't have drug addiction, who didn't, like nothing bad happened.
Yeah.
They just had a realization and they wanted this. I think that's a really powerful show.
That's a
lot of people who like are grinders and hungry, a lot of people, you know, the reason I've always tried to be thoughtful of how I do content is I'm never stressed. Like, I'm never anxious. I'm like really in that place, like that real fucking weird place where like, this is what I was meant to do for real. And like, anytime I feel something's off, I'll micro adjust. I'm so in tune that I don't get into those subconscious places where I'm like, I'm fucked, I gotta fuck, you know, like, I'm just like notice what I asked you, how long was it on your mind?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really important insight.
Yeah, I know, I get it.
Right? Because
yeah.
You were playing with it. There's been a couple things in my life where that happened, and those are the things that were more challenging for me. What I tend to do is like the second I sense it at that first moment, I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna change it now before it becomes something drastic. But I think one of the things you can add to your repertoire is a meaningful show about elevating you, the human being. It's not even the content of the basement stuff. It works together, it's me. I have wine, I have NFTs, but I have me, the Gary Vee of it all. You might wanna go there because I think your truth and your life journey is actually a very substantial show concept.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome advice, man, because
it's worth debate. You know, I wanna leave you all to like you might be like, that was a great idea, but I don't want to do that. But in 9 months, you're like, I wanna do that.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that takes a lot of courage, and there's a million people just in fucking the tri-state area who want to do it right now, and they won't do it because they can't point to someone who did it, and you could be that person for them.
It's really interesting. I never even thought down that road, but
awesome. I would argue it's one of the most courageous things to do. To so many people that achieve real success professionally have so much of their identity tied up into it that it's just hard to shut it all down, even though you know you love your family more. It seems too extreme. They'll just take more vacation time. They'll take the month of August off, which just seems insane when you're a workaholic, but to shut it the fuck down, to then live it, have the benefits. Now you have grown kids who can even be on the show. I'm doing things that people think, or I'm saying things that people think, and then now they have someone to, like, a 50-year-old saying, I can make content. Because we need more people like that. And I think, what you did is extreme. That's a very large business, and you decided to go all the way, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
now we're doing NFTs and easy decks and everything. It's pretty
super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you should really debate it.
Yeah, I think that's cool, man. And that's just what we're all about. We're all about, like, the next thing. Like, I'm not complacent. Even at 57, I'm not sitting back going, yeah, this is it.
Well, it's because you're going to live for another 50 years.
Dude, I'm just getting started. Yeah.
You know what I think about that shit. I really believe, I don't understand people.
I don't either.
I get it, because we were both 15, and we know what we thought 57 was back then, which was fucking ancient.
Yeah.
But then you get there, right?
That's true.
Yeah, 15, I mean... When I was 22, I thought my 30-year-old cousin was 1,000. You know? But now at 46, I think, like, I'm a child.
Yeah.
And so I get it.
Yeah.
Like, why would you not go at it for at least 25 years before you begin to debate if you want to not?
Well, listen, I love the game. So for me, I have no reason.
I get it.
Everybody says all the time, you ready to step down? Let the kids
from
go.
What?
I'm like, I love having them. Don't get
me. You're like, I got more slides to fucking make. I get it.
There's more cool shit we didn't think of yet.
I get it.
You know?
What about bourbon brown goods culture? Like, that's become a phenomenon. So the wine cellar thing is obvious. One thing to think about that I think would really play if you're thinking about something creative is how deep people have gotten into scotch and whiskey and bourbon. And I think
we just did a sick heating room. We made a speakeasy in this guy's
house. It wasn't a basement, it was upstairs.
It was insane.
Love.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
I'm running super late because I'm enjoying the shit out of this. I gotta go. No, I'm enjoying it
so
much. Real pleasure.
Thank you so much.
So good to see you again.
Appreciate your time.